Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle is here, and we're here to talk about the 11-4, up by 1.5 games in the division with 2 games to go, 1 game out of the first seed of the NFC North, in the NFC overall with 2 games to go, having just beaten the Green Bay Packers in maybe the game of our lives.
And Kyle clinched a playoff spot. Don't let's not. These are
well, they didn't then though. No, the Lions did that to themselves.
That's true, but we're still recording after it's happened, so we can note that this is our first ever Scottcast.
Yep.
Ever about a playoff bound Bears football team, because even in Scottcast version,
even the old one,
2012, 2013, it didn't happen. We quit mid 2014, just like Mark Trestman's team. And then we didn't resume till 2022, 2023. So here we are, the first ever playoff bound Scottcast. It's pretty cool.
That's right. I got, just to start us off, I only got one thing to say, Kyle.
And at the end of the day, it's F the Packers always.
F the Packers. My favorite thing about DJ Moore saying that on TV is that when he got the game ball in the locker room, you could tell he said the real thing, but he didn't just say, I didn't just say.
That's
fudge.
Right.
He was, it was because he start, they give him the game ball and he starts to go, and at the end of the day, and then the video edits and cuts to a different moment. And I was like, what was he about to say? Come on, you cowards, give us the full fuck. Let DJ Moore say fuck the Packers.
They always have Ben mic'd up in those post-game locker rooms, right? And he's freaking out, and they always somehow bleep the curse words, but they don't bleep the background noise. They don't bleep anybody else. I don't know how they do it. Like, they have 27 microphones, and they only cut the ones that pick up Ben. But I kind of want to send them to WWE, so when the crowd starts chanting, fuck you, they don't just cut all the sound all at the same damn time. But yeah, it's all about fuck the Packers today. Kyle, I think we've already seen a lot of reactions from Bears fans. We know how special this moment has been to each individual human. But I know you wanted to, you had some words. You had hell of a reaction right off the bat.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, you strap in. You can get yourself a drink if you need to. I'm monologuing for a second here. So now, I don't, Travis, have you ever watched Ted Lasso?
A little bit, but
Ted Lasso, but I was on the internet, I was on Twitter, I was very online during the peak of its run, which meant that I ran across through a lot of sports stuff. I ran a lot of clips of where he talks about the English soccer expression, you know, it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very English thing to say, because that's an entire nation with seasonal depression. And I think as a person who's suffered from depression, I think that's something, God, that I relate to on so many levels, this idea that it's the hope that kills you. And there was a lot of that Saturday night, doomin everywhere, and in our Discord and all, you know, our game thread. I know there were so many of us, I think, feeling that it's the hope that kills you, because you're mad at yourself that you are letting yourself believe in that moment because of how it's going. And because every single time in our lives, when you have told yourself, don't get your hopes up, don't get your hopes up, Bears will always let you down, but you do get your hopes up. You have all got fucking hope. That's why you're tuning in every week, because the cowards and the shirkers are long gone. If you're still watching the Chicago Bears, it is because deep down, some part of you, beneath whatever cynical barriers you've erected, has hope for them. And every time you've had that hope, every time they've been having a good season, it's been that team that comes along and says, you were stupid to hope. You're not real. Whether it was the minute Jay Cutler arrived, the very first game, they were there to tell you, this guy ain't who you think he is, folks. We're going to show you what a quarterback looks like, and you don't have one still. Mitch Trubisky, 2019. Justin Fields, 2023. Every single time you thought maybe this time it was different, they were there to show you that it wasn't. And that was how it was feeling for a large part of that game, that it was never going to change, that team, when that team faces this team, this is always what's going to happen. And it was stupid of you to hope, and you start to feel that anger and that shame and that embarrassment. And yet, it's not stupid to hope, folks. It's not stupid to hope when you have that guy at quarterback. When the shoe is on the other foot and the fourth quarter comes along and you are the team that has the guy that they can't fucking stop. And you could feel it the minute that onside kick was recovered, the whole stadium felt it. The Packers felt it. You could tell. There wasn't fuck all that they could do to stop him. And what, and the Packers, oh my God, the fans are deep within their cope, and we'll get into the injuries and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, that kid, Caleb Williams, has taken the Packers to the mat all four fucking times he's faced them. He's already beaten them more times than Jay Cutler, or than Mitch Trubisky and Justin ever did. He's beaten them as many times as Mitch and Justin, or as Jay Cutler and Justin Fields combined beat them. They're fucking scared of him now. They're fucking scared of this team now. They'll never, and who knows, maybe this is just a temporary blip. Maybe we'll go on to lose the next 10. Maybe nothing's changed. But for this, for one night, for one fourth quarter, we had that guy. They didn't. We had that guy. And I got the fucking touchdown pat, the throw that I have waited my whole fucking life for. You waited for Eric, maybe you started out waiting for Eric Kramer to throw it like I did, and it never happened. Maybe it was Rex Grossman for you. Maybe it was Jay Cutler. Maybe it was Mitch Trubisky. Maybe it was Justin Fields. I don't know where along the journey you all waited in vain for that pass from a Bears quarterback against that team. But however old you are, and I'm 37, Travis will be 37 here soon-ish.
You're almost exactly 1 year older than me.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I tuned into the Bears a lot earlier than you did too, which is why I have pain about Rick Meyer. I didn't wait on that pass for Rick Meyer, but he was there.
Yeah.
I waited on that pass my entire life, and I finally got it, and it was everything I ever dreamed of. And hope is not stupid. And I've been honest on this podcast about the depression I was going through last year, folks. I've struggled with depression all my life. Last year got real fucking bad. I got to a dark fucking place. And I'm not going to blame the Chicago Bears for that. That's giving them too much credit. But I will say it didn't help that their slide last year was happening right as I was reaching the worst part of my life, too. And I remember thinking, like, God damn it. The one time we were, this was supposed to be the one thing I had to look forward to this year. This was supposed to be the guy that was different, and all of it was supposed to be different. And it beats you down. And I get it. The mockery and the losing it fucking beats you down, because it's the hope that kills you. Well, Caleb Williams killed the fucking Packers is what happened now. So you weren't stupid to hope. You were never stupid to hope. Hang in there, kids. It always gets better.
Yeah. For the Bears, for you, for your mental state. The thing about Caleb, to me, it's not even that pass for me. It was the way he let it go, and it was just, he knew. He did. There was no question. He never, his expression never changed. He put his hands in his little hand warmer, and he just looked downfield so casually, man. He was looking into a middle distance that we will never see. That the only people I have ever seen who have seen that middle distance are Aaron Rodgers against us. It's Tom Brady. It's Pat Mahomes. It's this creeping sense of inevitability, and he has that, right?
100. I mean, I was talking about this just in the Discord before I hopped on here to record, is that, like, he's got the most fourth quarter comebacks by a quarterback under the age of 25 in NFL history, tied with Peyton Manning. Four fourth quarter comebacks is pretty lucky. You get a handful of them, it's lucky. It's fluky. You end up on Bill Barnwell's list the next year, and I'm sure the Bears will end up on Bill Barnwell's
regression. The Bears are number one. We already know.
I think it's less likely as the week goes on, because their DVOA and all their other stuff has actually gotten better. They're legitimately good now. They're more good than lucky, even though they were more lucky than good there for a bit. And we've talked about that on here. But, like, at a certain point, when the only other guy in history that's fucking done it is Peyton Manning, we have transcended from luck into skill. There is an inevitability about that kid in the fourth quarter, because he's just got so many fucking ways to beat you. That fourth quarter, or that game tying touchdown pass on that fourth and four, Green Bay sending the house, the way he's able to roll right, not even kind of set his feet, flip that pass to the back of the end zone to Jahdae Walker. And we'll talk about Jahdae all day Walker here in a little bit too, because God bless it, he's a Bears legend forever, no matter if he never catches another pass in his fucking life.
Yep.
But we're still talking about Caleb right now. That pass, if you're Green Bay, what the fuck do you do about that? Nothing. There's nothing you can fucking do about that. And they know that, because they had the guy that threw that pass.
Yep.
And there was nothing. When we had four fucking Hall of Famers on that defense, there was nothing that you could do about that fucking guy and that fucking pass. That's what that feels like assholes. Welcome to the shoe being on the other side of the foot. That's the right. Other fucking foot. I'm messing up my...
Welcome.
Pat's going to have a field day. I'm screwing up my phrases again. My idioms.
Welcome.
The shoe's
to
on the other side of the fucking
years,
foot now.
Green Bay, you motherfuckers. That pass, the one to Jade, to the back of the end zone, that's something that Caleb's been trying to hit with Rome this year. And there's been a lot of times where him or Rome have been mic'd up. He's been trying to hit it to Rome, yeah. It feels like.
Yeah.
And I thought it was notable earlier in the season, every time after that pass, and it didn't connect. Caleb throws it to a spot. Rome doesn't
right.
run there, or he's a little slow. He says, hey, Rome, what are you going to do when that situation happens? I thought you were going to run here. Are you going to go somewhere else? And Rome,
what we've been talking about all season long, where like Caleb's accuracy, I know he misses passes, but it's not quite what it looks like a lot of the time, because a lot of times it's him doing what he's supposed to be doing in this offense. He's throwing with anticipation. He's throwing to a spot. And we've had so many of those that look badly because the wide receiver is not where he's supposed to be. But look what happens when the wide receiver is where he's supposed to fucking be. It's the best fucking pass you've ever seen in your life, and there's no defense against it.
Yeah, I had that thought in that moment where I was like, I feel like that almost had to be Jade Walker.
It had
you
to
know,
be.
Maybe Luther Burden. Maybe.
We've
like,
talked about
maybe
it a lot
small.
In the Discord. The Bears are on the golden path, man. Fate had to conspire so that it would be Jade Walker in that spot at that time. And I was really cool hearing Caleb talk about how, you know, he had Jade live with him earlier in the season when Jade didn't have a place to live. And they would stay at the facility and they would practice routes just like that. This undrafted, which is so funny for the narrative that was told about Caleb and cancer and Diva. And I don't know. It sounds to me like the Diva quarterback who let the undrafted rookie wide receiver, who was a total afterthought, the final cut of final cuts, just barely made the roster, has spent most of the season inactive. The quarterback, the Diva quarterback's working out with him for hours at a time, working on routes, working on steps. That guy may never have, without a lot of injuries, that kid would never have seen the field, but there he was in the biggest moment of the season to catch that fucking ball because our quarterback took him under his wing and practiced that pass with him. And then the game-winning touchdown pass, PFF came out and said today it was literally the highest graded throw of anybody this season, because I don't think people appreciate that is rolling left. He had to evade a pass rusher. He had to slip left, throw his whole body into it. It's 57 air yards, I think, total in a 20-mile-per-hour wind. And don't say the wind wasn't affecting shit, because we saw it take a touchdown pass away from Jordan Love early in the game. He threw that one to the outside, and it blew back inside. Caleb cut through that wind like it wasn't fucking there to drop that thing with 0.6 yards of separation into the bucket with the DB draped all over DJ. Just the best fucking throw we've seen in our lives.
Funny,
everything you ever wanted it to be.
To hear the DJ Moore, Caleb, and Ben all say, like, yeah, we did that in practice on Thursday. That exact play went the exact same way. It was an identical pass, identical catch. They were all like, everybody knew it was going to work at that time. The other thing I wanted to say about Caleb is, like, we've been talking about this, but I think since the Steelers game, something has changed in that guy. You know, not just... I think part of it is he feels very comfortable in this offense. He's very confident now. He was a lot more tenuous at the podium, I think, earlier in the season. And now there's a little sass in there, I think, from Caleb. You know, he feels himself a little bit more. Yeah. But I think more importantly, it sounds bad, but it's not a negative thing. A cult has formed in that locker room around Caleb. There is a belief that if they get him the ball and it is within a score, he is going to tie the game or he is going to win the game. And it's not just we have a shot. It's I know he's going to win the game. I just have to get him the ball.
I mean, just,
we just have to be out there. And the thing about these guys, there are some guys who get that, right? Matt Ryan had that, you know, like, and he's not like a super elite level guy, but these top tier guys, these guys like Rodgers and Mahomes and Brady, even when it doesn't work, it never sticks in people's minds. People forget that shit. Two weeks ago, Caleb didn't do it. He threw an interception. One player on the Bears team, not one blade of grass in that stadium, thought he wasn't going to win the fucking game when that onside kick was recovered.
The Yeah, I mean, Caleb even made the comparison to Michael Jordan and the quote about all the times he was asked to take the game-winning shot and miss it. Now nobody fucking remembers those.
Nobody cares.
You just remember all the ones he hit. He said, 9 times out of 10, I'll hit it. Well, here we go. The next time he fucked, the very next time he had the chance, he fucking hit it. So.
Yeah, and boy, he's bought into that Iceman name. But the second that pass landed, he just the bird.
Fucking,
oh,
yeah,
boy.
I mean, yeah.
This wasn't Caleb's coming out party, right? Like, at the very latest, that was in Cincinnati. Yeah. But this was... Yeah. This was the birth of something.
I mean,
something
this is, I think, the moment when finally everyone, you know, because God, how many times earlier this year were you and I like, it's happening, folks. Yeah. You gotta look under the hood a little bit, but it's there. He's doing all the right. There's gonna come a day where everyone will see it. I think this, and we've had games where you and I were like, yeah, he's already there, and then this was the game where the whole fucking world got to see what we have, and what we have is one of those guys.
Yeah.
We could talk about Caleb for an hour. I said it again, I have waited for that throw from that player at that position in that uniform against that team. I've waited for it my whole fucking life, and it was worth every bit of it. I ain't ashamed to say the minute that ball landed in DJ's hands, I screamed, I cried. My son came running in and he's like, are these happy tears? Are these sad? What's going, do you need a hug? Either way. So,
I accidentally woke my wife up, but I was making the guttural noises, ripped off the shirt, the chair was thrown.
Yeah,
it was a wild night. I mean, I think everybody we know who's a Bears fan has been buzzing to the extent that they've almost been unable to sleep for 2 days.
Oh, I didn't go to sleep till like 2 a.m. that damn.
I did not sleep the other night. Right after that happened, how the hell were you supposed to sleep? You know, like
I didn't sleep till 2 a.m. that night, man.
Like you said, welcome to hell, Green Bay. In all likelihood, we're going to see him again in 3 weeks in the same place, I mean, on the same night.
Yeah, and I mean,
guess
they're
what?
Not
you
going.
Can come get these hands again.
Yeah, and I mean, and Green Bay isn't going anywhere. That is a hell of a well coached team. LaFleur, the way they adjust. I mean, honestly, this is not me saying that I think Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love by any means. I think I know you want to say that. I know you do. I'm not saying that.
It, but you know, I think Malik.
With the Bears being, well, and I mean, we'll talk about Malik when we get to the offseason. We start talking about what free agency and stuff. I think I've seen a couple people on Twitter say this, but you think of how fun this would be. Malik Willis, Dolphins quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
With Mike McDaniel next year. Think how fun that would be.
I was thinking like Dolphins, Saints sounds amazing with Colin
Moore. I think they're going to roll with Shuck, man. He's had some moments. But anyways, I digress.
I guess.
I mean, to be clear.
He's like 28.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm not that high on Tyler Shuck. But I do fear he has shown enough that they will fall for it. And then it'll take him until like mid-season next year to realize that they just signed on for Gardner Minshew. But anyways. No, the Packers are an incredibly well-coached team. LaFleur, and I would say in that moment, I think given that the Bears had clearly spent the entire week game planning on an extremely conservative, zone-heavy, slow-down Jordan Love's explosive passing plays defense, the switch to Malik Willis actually really worked against them quite badly, because then all of a sudden you have to account for Malik Willis, the RPOs, the option game. You have to account for the him being a plus one in the run game when they clearly had built their entire game plan around keeping two deep safeties. Then all of a sudden you're like, do we put someone in the box? And Malik will beat you with play action. And that's why the Packers fans bitching like, doesn't count because Love went out. Well, Love was averaging 6 yards per attempt on like 17 dropbacks before he went out. He had 17 dropbacks. Malik Willis had 21. Malik averaged over 11 yards per attempt. He had a plus 20 CPOE in that game. It's not a knock on Jordan Love to say it, that I think even if he'd stayed in and played as well as he could, I don't think he was going to play better than Malik Willis did. Like, you got a god tier performance from Malik Willis in that game. It was as evenly matched as it could be. And again, we talked about this with Parsons. Rome Odunze and Luther Burden weren't out there, guys. We have the most starts lost to injury of any team in the NFL this year. It happens to everybody. And if Green Bay fans are going to insist that any win over a backup quarterback is invalid, are you fuckers giving me back my Super Bowl then? Can I have that one? Because I don't remember you. I don't remember this being a talking point for the last 15 years from you fuckers. So, yeah.
I mean, we should probably pay
and Halfley. Sorry, one other thing. My Jeff Halfley is the fucking goods. The worst two games from Ben Johnson as far as play calling, especially in the first half, have been against Halfley both games, because he's been the one guy who has figured out how to bust our protection schemes. Because individually, the offensive line all played well in this game. Because I remember at the time, I was like, how is there so much pressure on Caleb when our offensive line versus their defensive line without Parsons should be a mismatch? And you go back and, like, individually, each offensive lineman played very well. But Halfley was finding ways to exploit their protections and get free runners at Caleb. And again, that's again another fucking miracle that Caleb didn't take a single goddamn sack in that game. People want to bitch about the completion percentage. It's not a single goddamn sack. Yeah, he had to throw the ball away a couple times. He threw the ball away two plays before the game-winning touchdown. But yeah, I mean, Halfley, LaFleur, I think Jordan Love is a very good quarterback. I hope he's okay. I do not think that was a dirty hit by Austin Booker. We can get into that in a second too. But the Packers aren't going away. I don't think we're going to dominate them for the next decade the way they did. But one thing that I'll say is they have to fucking respect us now, because we ain't going away either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically where I was going to go. I think we should probably get the bad part out of the way, which is this game didn't start very well. In fact, this game wasn't going very well until about partway through the fourth quarter. But not in... in the usual way. I was having an issue there, and I was not as doomer as everybody else. I was kind of like hanging back out of the chat, like, I still like believe in this kid. Like, and part of that was we had 6 points, but there was nothing I could pinpoint that was like really poorly. Our passing offense was working well. The run game was working fine, but it's just, often you lose 4 yards on a play, everything gets derailed. Had obviously the worst play call in the history of Ben Johnson earlier in the game.
Yeah, the Packers in the first half did to us what we did to them in the second half of the first game between these two. Is it wasn't so much that their defense was shutting our offense down, just like our offense didn't shut theirs down in the second half of that game to enable the cut. It was just that their offense chewed so much damn clock. The Bears only had 3 possessions in the first half, and they moved the ball well on all three, but some sequencing shit got in the way. You had, Ben Johnson called a really stupid trick play, and he owned that backfired. And then, this is a complaint I've had about Cole Kmet a couple times. He definitely got illegally contacted and then held and then pass interference on that thing. But Cole Kmet has a bad habit of whenever that happens, he kind of just pulls up and starts looking for the flag instead of trying to finish the play. There was a 3rd and 5 there where I was like, yes, you got interfered with, but I think if you had made a diving attempt at a catch, you probably don't catch it because you're Cole Kmet, but I still would like to see you try instead of just turn around and look for the flag. And yes, there should have been a flag, but...
Yeah, I think I said during the game that on that trick play, Ben Johnson with the white pieces was really outthinking Ben Johnson with the black pieces. Like, you have a play... You have an entire driver. Caleb Williams is really shredding the Packers. The run game is working. You know, everything is going fine. You get down to this 4th down play, and what you do is you move your quarterback out to wide receiver so he never touches the ball. You put Cole Kmet under center. Insane. Like, what is the other team threatened by with that? And then who do you have receiving the ball beyond shotgun depth? Yeah. It's Kyle Manongai, the one running back you have who – like has notably been unable to hold on to the ball when it is passed to him lately. So you've outthought yourself. I've talked about this the last couple of weeks. I've been kind of irritated here, kind of irritated there. And it's just, it's personnel. It's him outthinking himself. It's him thinking, well, if I put DeAndre Swift out there, they're going to expect some trickery about, I'm going to throw it to him or I'm going to chuck it to him. It'll be a shovel pass. So they'll never anticipate this with Manongai. And there's a reason for that, Ben. Because it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Just hand it off, bro.
Well, and I love Drew Dahlman. He's been the best free agent signing of the Poles era. He's been doing an awesome job blocking and everything and calling out protections and everything else. But he has had some snap issues this year. Like, he's missed Caleb a couple times.
Yeah.
Kyle Manongai is 5'8". So that's not a sure thing either. So, yeah, no. I didn't love that either.
Just a whole system of errors there. Yeah. And then the rest of the game, it was just, hey, we move the ball. We're playing really well. And then something happens. Like, you break off a 10-yard run, you get a first down, and then you lose 3 yards.
Yeah. I mean, even if you just look at the box score for the game, a lot of it's on those last couple of drives and everything. But, like, the Bears outgained them. The Bears had over a yard higher in yards per play. They won the turnover battle. Like, they did not get outplayed on a per-play basis in any way, shape, or form. Green Bay just did a great job of controlling the clock. and the Bears just had a couple. And that's why, you know, you look at the DVOA for that game or whatever, and the Bears talk about pretty. That was not a win that they just. That was not the Raiders game where they got beaten up pretty badly and they stole it at the end. That was a game kind of more like when we talked about this a couple times with the Bears, quote, close game luck, is that a lot of these Bears close wins have been games where they were truly the better team on a per play basis and they just shot themselves in the foot. And that's the same thing that happened here. They were moving the ball well. That's why it is a little annoying, you know, the narrative people have is Caleb Williams has got that Eli Manning magic where he can play like shit for 50 minutes and then play. Yeah. And I'm like, he didn't. He was averaging 8 yards per attempt into the third quarter. The only thing that dropped it was that drive there in the fourth quarter where Oz and DJ Moore both had two massive drops. Like, and then, it was sequencing. Credit to Green Bay. They had a brilliant game plan to take advantage or to just keep the Bears offense off the field, churn clock. One thing that, you know, our Scottcaster Emeritus Eric always likes to say is that more offenses would have good luck against the Bears if they just ran the ball basically every play. But I swear to God, offensive coordinators just get bored. And then Malik Willis came in, and I think LaFleur managed to resist the temptation to pass too much and just kept consistently churning those runs.
And the fun thing about Malik Willis is he has this reputation around the league now where it's like, oh, they're going to be more run focused when they come in. And of course, finally, the Bears are dropping two safeties. Dennis Allen is like, okay, they're just going to run. And guess what? Everybody forgot that Malik Willis is like a bombs away quarterback.
Yeah, he's got a great.
He has a gorgeous deep ball.
Malik Willis is very much like he was an even more raw Justin Fields with a better, like, quicker release. Like, his problem was never, I mean, he has all the goddamn talent in the world. He has a fantastic arm. I mean, we talked about him. I guess that was one draft before the Scottcast came back. But I mean, you and I talked about him, you know, and I was like, I really hope nobody plays him too early, but I think there's potential there. You know, for a while there, me having him as QB1 in that draft class, you know, I mean, nobody was QB1 in that draft class other than Brock Purdy, apparently. But it didn't look great. But, like, you know, there's potential there. But, yeah, it was really funny. You know, it's like, oh, you're giving up the deep ball to Malik Willis. I'm like, yeah, Malik Willis has a good deep ball.
That's his thing, actually. Yeah. Like, everybody just forgets this.
I'd be a little more upset if we were getting consistently beat on quick slants and stuff by Malik Willis, because that's the shit he struggles with. But, like, yeah, you gave up a YOLO ball to Malik Willis. That happens. So,
yeah, that's right. You talked about the wide receivers. Well, I guess we should probably – yeah, there were drops again.
Let's issue – first Alameda of all,
Zacchaeus needs to go away. But I do want to say one thing. I did want to say one thing about Oz. The final piece to this Bears offense is when Caleb makes one of these great evasions, a double spin move on Rashawn Gary, and he has all the time in the world to throw the damn ball. More of these Bears receivers need to get into scramble drill mode, find a spot, and get open. And the one guy who did that in this game,
yes, that runner was Alameda Zacchaeus. Was outstanding.
Caleb was rolling out to the left, and Oz is like, I'm kind of covered here. And just this little subtle, he gets a little bit more depth, and Caleb, like, just immediately locks in, like, oh, that's beautiful. Throws it in, beautiful, right in stride. Like, I mean, we forget some of the amazing passes Caleb makes. He does it so often and so well. So I got to give Oz a shout out there. I still think he should probably be cut and not be on this team, but everybody else needs to learn that from him. Like, please, if you're turning around, Caleb is shaking people. Get open, guys.
I don't think he needs to be cut, but I think he's only on a one-year deal. Strongly doubt he's back next year anyways. But no, I mean, we need to issue a mea culpa to DJ Moore because that guy has bought in. It's clicked for him. The chemistry between him and Caleb is obviously – we've been waiting for it forever, but it seems like it's finally there. I was really pretty cool, you know, when DJ Moore called him my guy on TV, quoted the tweet, said it on Twitter too. Like, that felt pretty pointed from DJ too. Wanted to send a message to the world that, like, yeah, I know, I've heard you, he's my guy, I believe, I'm rolling with him. And I mean, how fucking fitting that it was Nixon who got the interception the first time, and Nixon who hit DJ Moore in the back on that dirty ass hit. And Green Bay fans, they want to call Austin Booker dirty. Okay, well, Kayson Nixon's dirty too then. DJ Moore, who came back in and got that touchdown on that fucker to win the game. I mean, with Burden out, with Rome out, they needed DJ more than ever, and he answered the bell. So for all the shit we've said about him on this podcast. And yeah, there, I'm sure if I watch the all 22 of every play, I'm sure there are still run blocking reps where I'm not going to be real happy. And maybe a couple plays he took off, but he's giving everything he's got out there right now. I was happy to see him get a game ball for that performance for sure. And I mean, just like Jadae Walker, DJ Moore, we'll be telling our grandkids about the time DJ Moore caught the game winning touchdown against the Packers. And what an incredible, I really loved just the symbolism of him just collapsing dead on the field after a catch because he had nothing left, you know?
Yep. So I showed the highlights to my wife after I woke her up with my guttural screaming. I showed her the last few minutes. And she immediately identified, like, oh my God, that guy looks tired. And this was plays before with DJ Moore. She was like, that guy doesn't look well. And I was like, I know. He looks like he's about to die, but just wait. Like, he's going to run screaming down the field and catch the winning touchdown and then die and be crucified and rise again on the backs of all the Bears fans in that stadium. But yeah, he really gave up. He gave up absolutely everything he had in this game. His blocking has been incredible this entire season. And yeah, like you said, he might be the last Bear to join the cult of Caleb, but he's absolutely fully bought in at this point. The last receiver we got to talk about is Jadae. Two catches in this game, and I think they were both incredible. The first one, easy to forget. Caleb going through his full progression, everybody perfectly on time. Caleb on time, every receiver on time. One, two, three, fourth read to Tajay. And as is going to be indicative of what he does later in the game, he's running his ass off. He doesn't care that he's the last guy on the route. He's moving to his spot. He's exactly where Caleb wants him to be. Beautiful pass and catch. And I feel like that foretold that incredible pass later in the game, because one thing that Jadae's not going to do is slow down, give up on the play, hang his head and pout. He's running his ass off to the spot, all right? He wanted that pass.
Really love that being Caleb's first real pass attempt of the game, too, to see him catch, to get to his third option on that play, fourth option on the play, I think it actually was. And that was a beautiful pass, too, because the safety was cracked. He had like a tiny window to fit that in. So that was the kind of shit they say Caleb can't do.
Yeah. But no, Caleb has ascended to a different plane at this point. This is top five quarterback shit that he is.
Anybody whining about the completion percentage can get bet, because you are missing the forest for all the trees right now, man.
That's right. All right. Do we want to talk defense? Do we want to talk about, like, tight end was good. The blocking was nice, but really we didn't see much in the way of Colston.
Saw a couple plays from Colston Loveland on the final drive when it came up. Yeah.
Nice short passes. I thought about how Caleb has moved on to really relying on Colston on those short
passes. I thought what was encouraging about that game is that I felt like Green Bay gave a lot of attention to Colston to try to take him away, anticipating that would be Colston's number. That would be Caleb's number one option with those guys out. And so then it's incumbent on DJ, like, hey brother, you're going to be one-on-one. There's going to be no safety. What do you do? You beat their ass with a deep post and win the fucking ball game is what you do. So, cause it was on, you watch that play. I think the first read on that play is Loveland on a sail route. And I think that's where the defense kind of flows toward is Loveland. Yeah. And that leaves DJ one-on-one. All he's got to do is dust the corner, and he doesn't burn right past him, but he gets open. Caleb gets it there. So, yeah, it's cool to see Loveland become a factor even when he's not getting the ball, because defenses are absolutely scared of him right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the book on Caleb up to this point? If he has one weakness, it's the deep pass, right? If it's windy as hell, it's 20-plus mile-per-hour winds, you're like, whatever, leave DJ, you know, one-on-one downfield. How the hell is this kid going to hit it? And like you said, the best pass of the season, according to PFF.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, Caleb's deep ball being a weakness is an outdated thing. He is, I believe I was looking, I think he's like 11th in adjusted completion percentage on deep passes per PFF this year. And that's considering he throws more of them than almost anybody. The thing is that, like, people compare his deep completion percentage to the league average. I'm like, but not everyone. There is we talked about this with Bryce Young and with Jaden Daniels pre-draft. There are generally two different types of deep passers in the NFL. There are the guys who only take the shot when it's wide ass open, who will have like 60% completion percentages. And then there are the guys who will take more shots, and then it'll be in the 30s and 40s for them. But you'd rather have that guy.
Yeah.
Because you'd rather have the guy who goes 1 for 3 on deep passes, but the one he hits is 40 fucking yards, than the guy who completes 3 for 4 short passes. So Caleb Williams being a, when you compare Kate, when you filter out the guys who don't have that many attempts and you just look in the group of guys who actually take a lot of deep pass attempts every week, Caleb's doing just fine accuracy wise there. So if any defense is really thinking that Caleb Williams can't beat them deep anymore, good luck. Yeah. He just showed you guys right there on national TV.
Damn straight. Kyle, this was almost an episode about yelling at Ryan Poles.
It was.
His inability to stack the defensive line with talent.
Yeah, it's definitely, that was not, I will say rewatching, I did think Montez Sweat had a very good game. I thought Grady Jarrett looked pretty good.
Grady Jarrett's best game as a Bear, for sure.
But LaFleur, just like Ben Johnson, honestly, you don't get a lot of free runners on LaFleur. His protection plans are always very sound. It's very hard to sack Green Bay quarterbacks. I was a little more disappointed, honestly, watching back, and some of that's because I was a little more disappointed in the performance by the secondary. I didn't think the communication was great. I still don't think Jalen Johnson looks 100%, which isn't surprising. Hopefully he can round into form here these next couple of weeks. And I also think some of it is that they were playing a lot more soft zone than those guys have been used to working so far this year. So, I'm hoping we'll see there. But, yeah, I didn't think that – I mean, but, yeah, it's continues to be a problem that Ryan Poles has had so many – has had 4 years and all of these resources and has spent a lot of money and picks on this defensive line, and they still just don't have anybody that wins quickly. And that showed up quite a bit. But I will say – 3rd and 1 there in overtime. TJ Edwards, the oldest linebacker in America, moving like Phil Rivers, still managed somehow to sniff out that play by Malik Willis and not just fill that gap and stop him, completely dead stop, didn't let him get an inch, which set up a long 4th and 1, and the whole game turned there. And I honestly think, Scottcast friend Robert Schmitz, he was the one that was like, I honestly think watching that play, even if Malik Willis doesn't, it looks like it's just going to be duo. And if Malik Willis doesn't bobble that snap, it looks like both Big Bill and Grady Jarrett have already won and are breaking through. So I think there's a good chance they would have stopped that one cold anyways. So,
yeah, you mentioned Jalen Johnson having a rough day. I think we need to give a shout out to Nashon Wright at this point.
He played very well.
Over the last 6 weeks, he has been one of the best corners in the NFL. His PFF grade, he, at the beginning of the season, after the first 4 games, he was almost dead last in PFF grade among qualifying corners. He has come all the way up to 28th overall in PFF grade. And obviously, I'm not the world's biggest fan of PFF grade, but to pull yourself out of that hole and into solid starting cornerback in the NFL is nothing short of a miracle. And it's really shown up. He perfectly fits Dennis Allen's scheme. Another turnover generated in this game. He has gone from like, wow, it would be nice to be able to retain Nashon, to like, I would kill Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon to pay Nashon Wright at this.
Yeah,
point.
I mean, if you look at this is Nashon Wright's weekly grades throughout this season.
Mm-hmm.
74.4, 29.4, 58.5, 49.2, 42.1, 85.9, 46, 43.2, 71.4, 58.9. So very rocky up through that second Minnesota game. The last 5 weeks, 82.7, 80.9, 70.2, 73.3, 82.3. That is a perfect metaphor, microcosm of the Bears as a whole. Like we were talking about, yeah, there was a stretch there where Nashon Wright, just like the Bears, was more lucky than good. He was playing terrible corner, but he was, oh my God, I just saw Philip Rivers disgustingly snap the ball into the ground after a false start by his right tackle. I never thought I'd see that again. Now that's me right in the old man feels.
Kyle's feeling very like, nostalgic for Philip Rivers right now.
That would be like seeing Jay Cutler come back to give one more disgusting timeout.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'd weep. Anyways, but Nashon, yeah, he's perfect microcosm for the team. Like he was more lucky than good, but over the last 5-6 weeks, he's just been good. And again, like we were talking about, this is what it looks like when you have a staff that coaches guys, that develops guys, that can bring them along. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to swing it, but I even a couple weeks ago, I was of the opinion like, yeah, you thank Nashon Wright. Like, he's been more lucky than good. You thank Nashon Wright. You gladly accept the comp pick you get for getting him walking. Now I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that you can let him go. So yeah. Ryan Poles, who we do not have a lot of faith on, who we were still very angry at, still kind of are very angry at, because I guarantee you, if and when the Bears finally lose the game that eliminates them this year, we will be able to blame a defensive line with absolutely no juice.
Yeah.
For that. But yeah, I mean, Nashon Wright, that he's gonna have to figure out some stuff to do with guys like Nashon Wright. So
yeah, guys like Nashon, like Jade, like D-Jack, DeMarco Jackson. These are examples of guys we would have never seen under Eberflus. Now, since we started this podcast, it's become a tradition in the preseason to be like, well, to this staff, the Eberflus staff, the preseason just doesn't matter. Like, it felt like they didn't even watch the game. They didn't.
Yeah, they did not. They treated it
like bullshit. Bullshit, yeah. Kyle.
Yeah.
A great example is a guy who's on the team right now, Daniel Hardy. He, in the first season we did the Scottcast, this would have been 3 years now. He had a monster preseason. He was looking great. He looked great in camp. And he was part of the first round of cuts on a defensive line that had no juice, was even worse than what we've got right now. Like, didn't even really have any hope, right? And we reacted in surprise. We were like, I don't understand that. Like, apparently they don't really care about the preseason. Maybe they see something else in practice. And that guy is back on this team, a massive special teams contributor. And he has been a huge part of the special teams turnaround, which we can talk about here in a bit. I have to give a mea culpa on the special teams here over the last 5 weeks. But you know, that's a guy, literally the guy, the poster child for Eberflus, not looking at what he has right in front of his eyes and just going on, you know, what he thought was right going into the season. Now we've got Ben Johnson and his staff saying, yeah, guess what? Jade Walker looked amazing during the preseason. He earned a spot. DeMarco Jackson, hey, maybe we don't have anything for you to do this season. It seems like we have a lot of linebackers ahead of you, but you earned your way onto the team. You know, and Nashon Wright, again, like, yeah, we had a lot of issues at corner. We've had a lot of injuries, but another guy who earned his way onto the team.
Like, if you are Ben Johnson, everyone's going to talk about what he's done with Caleb Williams and everything, and they should. Yeah. But if you're Ben Johnson, the guy that people around the league, if you're a player in the NFL and you're looking for a team next year, the guy you're looking at when it comes to Ben Johnson, you're looking at Nashon Wright, and you're looking at Jade Walker, and you are saying, like, they'll give me a shot. They'll let me earn. Like, if I prove I can play, he won't let draft status. He won't let this. They'll give me a chance. Because, I mean, like I said, Jade Walker has been inactive for how many weeks this year? Like, there actually have been times I thought to myself, like, wow, I'm surprised they've really let him through all the roster, all the various linebacker signings they've had to make. Like, I was like, I'm really surprised they've never let Jade Walker go so that they could have that roster spot, because they've needed it before. But, like, they believe in guys. They develop guys. And, like, that's something you want to show around the league. Like, Nashon Wright should be an inspiration to a lot of guys. Like, go to Chicago, man. They'll develop you. They'll give you a chance.
Hell yeah. I mean, we should have known. We saw how badly Ben wanted to win those preseason games. We saw how much of a freak he was this preseason, how intense he was in the fourth quarter of the last preseason game. This guy is still out there coaching everybody to death.
You know, and it's something for us, too, as Bears fans, because I get why we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I get why we're like this, because usually if a guy sucks in week four on this, at least the last couple of years, especially if a guy sucked in week four, that was a 100% guarantee he was still going to suck in week 17. But it's not the same anymore. Like, be patient with guys. Even, you know, Tyreek Stevenson. I know you said, you know, you'd toss Tyreek Stevenson to keep Nashon Wright, but here's Tyreek. The last 4 weeks, 71.3, 66.4, 58.4, 72.3. So he's really only had one average game in there against the Steelers. I mean, he's looked real. And plus, he had that stretch, you know, before the hip injury where he was fantastic, which I think, you know, we can write the couple weeks there in the middle where he was pretty bad to him rounding into form and rushing back as our only healthy corner there for a while. So, I'm just, it's really cool to see, have. Coaching matters, man.
We have coaches.
Coaching fucking matters.
We have such a good coaching staff right now. And I like the Bears defense was getting run on. It felt like they were getting beat up. It was hard to watch. They ended up giving 16 points. It's pretty clear Dennis Allen did what I wanted him to do in the last game.
And they said, tightened up.
I'm going to make you work me down the field slowly because I think Jordan Love will eventually make a stupid mistake. I love that plan. I love the idea. And yeah, when he went down, that whole plan just got screwed up, right? Now we're playing Malik Willis. This is a whole different fucking ball game.
So
I understand that. Do you have anything else you want to shout out on defense before we talk special teams here?
Wow, incredible doink in the Monday Night Football game. Hit the bottom crossbar and bounce back onto the field. That was fun. Anyways, the defense, I was, well, 0-5 in the red zone. I mean, really perfect, Ben, but don't, Lovie Smith couldn't have done it better himself.
That's right.
it was really funny because that was kind of the game plan that you used to see Lovie deploy against Aaron Rodgers. And that game was so reminiscent of the games that we would lose on the other, like the Bears would normally, in the Lovie era, the Bears would be that team leading 16-9, and you would be like, God damn it, if only our offense could have gotten it better and gotten that touchdown that would have knocked them out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they never did. And you left just enough room for Aaron Rodgers and just enough time, and he ripped your hearts out. So that was, that was how that felt, just from the other side. From the other side of the foot. So
that's right. The worm has turned.
The worm has turned, and it's on our foot now.
The worm is all over our feet.
The worm on our feet.
Scottcast only fans. Worms on our feet.
Worms on our feet. Scottcast premium. That is a Scottcast premium reward.
That's right. All right. Special teams. I really want to talk about the special teams.
Go talk about them special teams, son.
I was pretty cruel to Richard Hightower earlier in the season, and with justification, all right? Earlier in the season.
They were quite bad. They were.
The man was running the same field goal play that got exposed last year and got Cairo Santos blocked multiple times, right? He was running one play on kickoff and one play on kickoff return. And we had many, many loyal members of the Scottcast Discord pointing out, like, he is having guys receive kickoffs on the right side of the field and everybody is blocking to the left. And the guy is just running straight ahead. Like there's a lot of stuff that wasn't making any sense, right? Punt coverage wasn't making sense. Torrey Taylor was kicking the ball in a certain way, and the coverage wasn't matching the way the punt was being kicked. Punt returns, it felt like blocking was completely off. It felt like we didn't know when we should be doing a fair catch. Like everything was going wrong. There were penalties. We were lining up incorrect. We got an illegal formation on a punt once, which I thought was impossible. I don't think I've ever seen that before. But that happened earlier in the year. The thing is, over the last month of this season, the Bears have been switching up plays. The kickoff return, in particular, has looked so smooth. In this game, we're not going to remember this, but we almost broke two for touchdowns. They were caught by diving tackles by the Packers.
And I think that's another thing we probably also should have given some grace for, is that everyone's figuring out this new kickoff.
Yep.
At the beginning of the year, it was going to take some time, but like they seem to have definitely found some answers in return, in getting good returns and in covering them. They've steadily improved as the year. I mean, every facet of the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, Aaron Schatz had a tweet today where, one of the things he was quoted a couple weeks ago before the Eagles game, where he was like, the Bears by DVOA are the worst 8-3 team of all time or whatever they were at the time of that game. And like, it's not that DVOA doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. But now they are 10th in the NFL in weighted DVOA, because they're 16th in DVOA on the season overall, which is still good. They're an average team, but they're 10th in weighted DVOA, which is where they weight it towards more recent games to kind of try to reflect where a team is now. So like they have legitimately become a top 10 NFL team by all the advanced metrics and stuff. So again, they were more lucky than good. And now as we roll into December, just like the head coach said they would be, they're playing their best football and they're more good than lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the punt team earlier in the season, Torrey Taylor, much maligned.
Overrated bust, awful piece of shit, but then back to Australia.
Kicking the ball, nobody was around. It felt like everything was a line drive. It was like just crazy all over the place plays. In this game, one of the most beautiful coffin corners I've ever seen, if I hadn't seen all the other Torrey Taylor punts at Iowa. Last game against the Browns, a vintage Iowa punt play where Torrey Taylor skies it at the one and, you know, just whoop, there's a guy there catching it, stopping it at the 1 yard line. I have seen that a lot personally. So yeah, Torrey's been on. It's been the punt return has been looking better. Cairo Santos in this game. Like, I wanted to finish with Cairo. Without every magical field goal that Cairo kicked in this game, without the extra point at the end, which was not easy, not an easy fucking extra point, we don't come close to having a chance in this game without that onside kick. Probably a perfect onside kick. Like, I'm going to be honest. I think the Bears coverage team maybe needed to run a little bit faster and mess with the reception a little bit harder. Thank God. Romeo Doubs and his big ass fuzzy head couldn't hold on to it, but okay, it was a beautiful onside kick.
We can't make fun of guys for the Guardian caps they're trying
to prevent
brain
injury. I'm going to though because it's funny. But like, really,
Romeo Doubs,
the goat of this game might have been Cairo Santos.
Like, I watch a lot of I mean, that kick, that one kick that he made where he played it into the, that was,
what
truly,
the fuck was that?
It was like incredible.
One of the coolest field goals I've ever seen.
I was gonna ask about Romeo Doubs. I watch a lot of Packers games, and I feel like he is just like the worst good wide receiver in football. Cause I'm like, I know why you have that guy on your roster. He does so many things well, but like, he's also just like, he will always fuck up something every single game, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Like, just to name another Packer, like James Jones ass receiver, like, you know, you throw it to him and it bounces off his hands, and then Aaron Rodgers would narrow his eyes and whip it to him again and he'd catch it. And you're like, but like, does that make him good? If you catch one out of every two catchable passes, like, no, but I gotta give Cairo Santos a huge shout out. These were hard field, even the last field goal. And I know people were really frustrated at the time because we ended up hitting the 2 minute warning and you really didn't want to. But there's 20 mile per hour winds. And what you tell Cairo in that is like, make the field goal. We need the field goal to be made, dude. So,
well, everybody was just so fucking gassed. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's just, they fucking won that game, man. They did it.
It's insane. It's insane. Yeah. Well, Kyle, we've got like 9 minutes to go. I guess I should give DJ one more chance to speak.
At the end of the day, it's F the Packers always.
Do we want to talk playoff scenarios? We've never been able to do that. We're in the playoffs.
Playoffs?
But we have all kinds of scenarios, Kyle.
You talking about playoffs?
I'm talking about playoffs right now.
Playoffs? I mean,
you sounded like exactly like Jim Mora Sr.
I watched that. I've watched a lot of the DJ Steve Porter videos.
People are going to think I played a clip there.
Kids, I guess that's one for you. Kids, if you're under the age of 30, and apparently some of you are, you call me Unk, and I find that endearing on Twitter. They call me. That's a good thing, right, Travis? That means well that they call me Unk, right?
My daughter calls me an Unk as well. It just means you're old. Yeah.
Okay, but it's like an endearing old, right?
Yeah, it's like a respected old. Yes.
Okay, because I get a lot of tweets calling me Unk, and I'm like, I feel honored by this. But no, if you're under 30 listening to this podcast, you don't know who DJ Steve Porter is. Look up DJ Steve Porter on the YouTube. He's got some good ones in there. But yeah, I've listened to Jim Mora playoffs so many times. And apparently, someone in the Discord shared this today, with the 49ers and the Colts playing today, and the 49ers currently having the lead. The last time the Colts beat, or the last time the 49ers beat the Colts was 2001, and it was the game that set off that rant from Jim Mora. So
amazing.
That's a fun little factoid there. But yeah, no, I mean, the Bears, I don't know that I'm ready to, I don't want to waste a whole lot of time talking about scenarios until I know what the seeding's going to be. I'll just say that I am so fucking grateful that Detroit chose to go on an offensive pass interference palooza and cost themselves that game, because the ability to go watch these last two games without stressing about the Bears somehow experiencing the worst case scenario of going 11-6 and missing the fucking playoffs is huge for my mental health. I need a little breathing room before we get into January.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, the seeding is the scenario, isn't it, Kyle? I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been able to talk about this, but like, I mean, overwhelmingly, I think the most obvious, most likely thing that will happen is simply that we play the Packers again here. We're gonna if God we end damn. Up the 2 seed, we play the Packers. They'll probably be the 7 seed. We will see this exact game again, which honestly, you know, bring those motherfuckers on. But should the Bears win their next 2 games, completely possible. The 49ers have a terrible defense, and the Lions have given up all hope. At this point, I feel like, plus we get Goff in the cold.
But yeah,
I don't
outdoor
know.
January
but if we
Goff,
do,
maybe.
If we do, all we need is Seattle to lose either at the Panthers or at the 49ers the last week of the season. And the Bears get the number one overall seed, and we don't got to worry about that. So I mean, it's pretty simple. Just win out and see if Darnold can kind of blow one of these last 2 games, you know?
Yeah. As this, in the words of Tom Berenger, I guess there's only one thing left to do then. Win the whole fucking thing.
God, you're goddamn right. Oh, I'm worn out, man. I want some sleep, but I'm still jacked. It feels like I'm just jacked. drinking still monsters jacked. Right before bed.
How many times have you watched that touchdown since Saturday?
I think the people in my house are getting tired of hearing that call.
I will give Tom Brady so much credit, man. He really appropriately reacted.
Oh, yeah.
To both of those touchdowns. Fantastic. The way he just screams after both, and then talking about Caleb doing a Steph Curry impression fadeaway jumper on the one to Jade, just friggin' loved it. And then calling it the throw of Caleb Williams' life, just loved it.
Yeah, how about Jade Walker's touchdown celebration? Not since Cole Kmet hitting a home run have I enjoyed a touchdown celebration more.
Yeah, that was
what
cool.
What do you call that? Like, it's a reverse moonwalk?
I believe it's got a name. I saw people on Twitter being like, oh, he hit the something or another. So I know it's something that I am presumably too white, old, and uncool to know. But I did see, I think it has a name.
It felt like with the white shoes on the white painted turf, it looked even better. Like, it just looked
immaculate. It was smooth. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Holy shit, that was cool. You know what? We're probably going to get to see Jade again, because I'm guessing Rome is just going to take a chill. Especially having clinched the playoffs, I would bet we don't see Rome until the playoffs. Maybe Burden gets a rest for another week. I hope not. I'd love to see Luther back out there, but against this defense, I feel good about DJ. I'd love to see more of Jade. I don't know, Kyle. I feel good. I feel so good about this whole.
What is there not
team.
To feel? What's we, there not to feel good about right now, man?
The last time we felt this good, probably 2018, right? We're in the playoffs. We have a great defense, but there was always this nagging suspicion holding.
I don't know that I ever felt. You were there, man. I never felt good about that team because I never trusted that quarterback.
Maybe we were having fun with that team in the moment because we hadn't seen success for a while, but it was always with caveats. It was like, boy, Mitch can't be this next season if we're going
to
continue.
Well, to be fair, there are caveats with this team, which is that I don't know that when it comes down to facing playoff offenses that I trust this defense. But the caveat there is not existential dread, because the worst thing in the world is to not trust your quarterback in the playoffs, because you know this could be our last shot. Because anytime you're in the playoffs with a quarterback you don't trust, you think this could be the last time we're here. I hope he can pull it out. If you go into the playoffs with a quarterback you trust on an ascending team with a young offense with tons of core pieces around him, and you know that the thing you don't trust is your pass rush, well, there are ways to fix a pass rush in an offseason and be right back here next year. So even if do I think this season probably ends with a playoff loss in January? Yeah, I do. I think most likely. Obviously, I mean, I'm.
That's
I'm,
some bullshit,
yeah, I mean,
Kyle. That's some bullshit.
But if it happens, I don't think I'm going to be anything more than grateful for the season that we've had, because I believe that the arrow for the franchise long term is only pointing up from here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, about the Bears odds this postseason, I'm going to harken back to some early Scottcast when we were talking about the Legion of Zoom. And I went on my rant about the Legion of Zoom. And what I said then rings true right now. You got to look at what the rest of the league has, right? Everybody's got a Byron Pringle, right? It's just they're like fourth or fifth on the depth chart. And we're hoping that guy's going to be number one. Well, that's what I'm going to say about our playoff chances right now, all right? You got to look at every other team. There is no unbeatable team right now.
What
not
NFC,
in the entire NFL.
Other than Matt Stafford, probably, what NFC playoff quarterback do you trust more than Caleb Williams right now?
That's right.
And how often...
The guy and who's ahead of us right now, the Seahawks do not have a run game, right? They have a good defense, but they have a suspicious quarterback. They don't have a run game. And look, Matt Stafford, I don't know how long the amortal chamber can sustain you. This could fall apart at any moment, all right? That feels like a real devil's bargain.
Yeah, well, and we can, the Bears can run the ball on anybody, and they can they can play shootouts. So if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. So, Travis, you want to play it one more time? Let's hear from DJ one more time as we sign out.
DJ, we're about to leave. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
And at the end of the day, it's after Packers always.
In the Delta, way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.